I want you now to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 18. And we're going to have a time of Bible study tonight, really just coming from my heart to yours. And I know that you might be sitting at a kitchen table, a dining room table, maybe in your car somewhere. But I hope that in the next few moments, you'll be strengthened and edified. And I'm speaking tonight on a subject that I've simply called a reliable hope. I want to keep remembering that our hope is not found in federal fund bailouts. Our hope is not found in medical discovery. Our ultimate hope is always in the Lord. I know the mayor of New York recently said, and probably just struggling for words to say, and I'm not downing him necessarily, excuse me, the governor of New York recently said, he was trying to emphasize the stay at home and the necessity and how we all need to do our part. And he said, we're not winning this battle because of God or because of the faith or because of religion. It's just all about us. And I get what he's trying to say. He's trying to tell everybody to do their part. But I got to tell you tonight, my firm conviction, we can do our part and still fail. But when God gets involved, then we have blessing. And so we want his blessing tonight. And that's what David wanted. And so let's read in Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You know, during the past month, Terry and I have enjoyed, really almost for 2 months, meeting with about 1,000 of our members every single morning at 10 o'clock to pray. We've kind of called out some of the names of those that have joined us. We've shared prayer requests by way of typing in the prayer request. And it's been one of the highlights for us of this unique and difficult season to meet with God's people and pray. And David is modeling for us the necessity of prayer when he says, I will call upon the Lord. And I want you to say that with me tonight, if you would. And just think about it. Let's say it together. I will call upon the Lord. I'm praying that we come through this season with an increased prayer time established. David is teaching us about this. Never before have we seen, at least in my lifetime, such dramatic change. Amazing change. We've seen the swings of economics. We've seen the swing of the pandemic. We're seeing the swing of power grabbing and posturing politically in the midst of this crisis. And prayerfully, we'll not see increased animus toward the New Testament church, especially here in the Western states. Time will tell. But we're living in a day when we must pray. And we must bring these burdens of ours to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider this, I want you to know that this is not a time for us to fear. Fear will come, but it must not permeate us. We must be a people of faith. David said in Psalm 56, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So we've got to keep our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Psalm 18, we see a glimpse into the reflective heart of David. David has come past the times of hiding and persecution from Saul, and he's reflecting in this psalm back to what it was like to be so close to death, so close to complete obliviation in the sense of Saul's threatenings against him. And this psalm was likely written as those times were fading away. Spurgeon says concerning the times of David, this suggests the idea that it was sung by David at different times and reviewed during his own remarkable history as he considered the gracious hand of God. Sometimes it's good for us to just look back and remember that God has brought us through certain trials, to know that He will then bring us through the future trials, the present trials as well. And so this was a psalm that David was reflecting his heart for God and writing these thoughts that we might receive the blessing from them tonight. There are a few themes in the psalm that I want to see tonight. We'll not cover the whole psalm, but in these first several verses, I want you to see, first of all, tonight, that God's provision is reliable. David was thanking God for the fact that even when Saul was threatening against him, that God kept providing for him every step of the way. He says in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." And we need to run to that rock during times like these. I think of the great song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." You remember that line that says, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." That would be the testimony of David. God, you've been my rock. You've been my fortress. You've been my strength. You've been my trust. All that I've needed, you have provided. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 says it this way, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Now, normally, on a normal day in a normal season of life, if you're like me, you get up, you go through your morning routine, you get dressed, you shave, you brush your teeth, you might grab some coffee, you run out the door, probably not thinking as much about the faithfulness of God as you could. I mean, surely you have some devotions or some time with God, but I have found myself during this season actually pausing to consider God and his faithfulness even more. This spring, I've enjoyed the blossoming of the roses, the beautiful unveiling of the leaves, every morning a little more and a little more, the green grass, the butterflies. All of these symbolic to me of the recurring hand of a faithful God, a replenishing hand of a faithful God. The fact that through every war, through every trial, through every difficulty, he continues to move amongst his people. He is a faithful God. And I'm thinking of his faithfulness, first of all, tonight with respect to his presence. God is with us, and God is for us. The Bible says that David would look to the Lord as his rock, a stronghold of Jehovah, a place of security, as his fortress, as his buckler or shield. The Lord is our protection. Now, I think about the environment in which we live. And a lot of what we do in business today and in the church world as well, unfortunately, is with liability in mind. We're thinking about potential litigation. How can we be safe, not only for the sake of being safe, but for the sake of being legally right? And as we consider social distancing and as businesses are coming back, we already are placing signs around the campus here about remembering social distancing. We want to be safe, but we want to be right. And yet David said, when I want to be safe and when I want to be right, I don't call the attorney. I call the Lord. I want to seek the Lord. And as your pastor, that's my heart's desire as well, that we would seek the Lord. Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. And so we want to seek the Lord to protect us. We want to seek the Lord to go with us. Moses said, Lord, if you'll not go with me, I cannot go. I cannot lead these people without your help. Jesus said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so we want to walk with him as he is with us. His presence abides with us. We're to walk in the Spirit this week. Not only do we see David speaking about the presence and the protective presence of God, but I want you to notice, secondly, the provision. David was looking to God to provide for him. And I see that in verse 3, the Bible says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, we have a lot of men and women in our church who work in the defense industry, and I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful for the defense industry. I'm thankful for the fact that we live in a great nation worthy of defending, and that we have been allies to others in their time of need. America has a great history, a rich history of standing for what is right. When I think of the defense industry, I'm thankful that we can say that we have such a strong and powerful nation. We see the threats of Iran, China, North Korea, and we need to have that defense industry. But we as Christians must never misplace trust. We must never put our trust in defense, finance, or even medicine. ultimately, it must be in the Lord Himself to provide for us. And David said, I will call upon the Lord in every circumstance. Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth his hand. Do you remember a few months ago when we were learning at the beginning of the year about God's provision, about calling on the Lord to provide even for the Kids City offering, for other needs of the church? And we remember preaching from Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, if you're a faithful believer, you have every reason to trust God to meet your needs. And yes, we need to have wisdom. We need to learn to discipline our spending, to search for value. We need to consider all the articles that are coming out about how to manage through a downturn in the economy. But most of all, we need to learn to pray and to seek the mighty hand of God. God's presence will provide for you the comfort and the direction. God's provision will provide for you the necessities and the strength. But also, God has perception that we do not have. He has wisdom. God will provide an understanding of the way. James 1:5, I often quote, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men. God says, I want to provide for you the wisdom that you need. And I've been emphasizing at LBClive.tv these last few weeks, we need to have wisdom. We need to have love that is bounded by wisdom. We don't want to make stupid decisions during the COVID-19 crisis. We want God's mind in the matter. James 3:17 speaks about this wisdom. It says it's wisdom that is from above. It is pure. It's not from beneath, but it is from above. So God provides all of this. He says, I want to provide for you in every way. I want to meet your needs. And I'm thankful that He does. His provision is reliable. I want to say secondly, though, that God has promises that are reliable. Now, I do believe God's going to provide for your needs, physical, emotional, obviously spiritual. But God also is going to provide according to the promises of His book. So look at verse 6 for a moment. I want you to see this. It says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Now, here we see that David is crying out unto the Lord. And he is calling out to God, crying out unto God that He would provide for him and that His promises would be revealed to him. Now, I want you to think about the identity of these promises. What kind of promises are we talking about? What kind of help was David asking for? What kind of help do we ask for? Let me give you a few ways that God strengthened David and that God will help and strengthen us. First of all, He will provide strength. Do you ever have days when you just feel weary? You feel weary of spirit? You need to have that inner strengthening. You know the passage where Paul said, though my outward body perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So here we see that there is a promise for strength. There is also a promise that we will overcome Satan. No doubt, David, when he was fleeing from Saul, felt in those moments that he was literally under a satanic oppression. And there is such a thing as a satanic oppression. And David no doubt felt that burden, that oppression. And yet, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible is very clear in 1 John 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is you in you than he that is in the world. And so we have this promise that we can claim. Another promise is the promise of his care for us. Sometimes the devil wants you to believe that God doesn't care. And yet the Bible says, cast all your care upon me because I do care for you. Be careful of slumping into depression during this time and getting into that mindset that, you know, nobody knows my address, nobody cares about me, I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms. God in His Word has said that He cares for you. And I'm so glad that He does and that He wants to meet our every need. And you know, we all have insecurity. We all have this time when we can wonder, but God wants to reassure us in that time. And so we see in the Word of God tonight that David had called unto the Lord for the promises of God to be revealed. And those promises are unique because of the promise giver himself. Notice, if you would, in verse 30, just to give you an idea of the uniqueness, it says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." So these promises, they're not Band-Aids, right? They're not given to us by a God who's playing a game with us. They are promises that are trustworthy. And the psalmist was so clear about this in verse 30 when he said, "His way is perfect." Now, I want you to just meditate on that for a moment. And maybe moms and dads and boys and girls, whoever's watching right now, let's think about that phrase, "His way is perfect." Let's say that together. His way is perfect, all right? God's way is perfect. And when we call out to Him, we can trust in His promises, and we can know that His way is perfect. God makes no mistakes. And so the psalmist, realizing the identity of the promises, God says, "I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you my care. I'm going to give you my provision. And you can trust me. My ways are perfect." We know that His word is perfect. It's infallible. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath God said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" In other words, if God says, "I'll provide all your needs," if God says, "Cast your care upon me," if God says, "I'm greater than the one that's in the world," then God is telling the truth and will perform what He's saying He will perform, because His word is infallible. God does not lie. He does not break His promise. Not only is His word infallible, but His power is immutable, meaning by that it's unchanging, it's everlasting. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Ye sons of Jacob are not confused." Now listen to me. God loves you as much today as He did the moment you got saved. God loves you as much today as in another time of great blessing or greater freedom. Whatever it was that you look back to as, "Boy, I missed that. I miss being able to go into In-N-Out. I know I can drive through, but I miss being able to go in, order 3 double doubles animal style and extra fries and a milkshake and a Diet Coke and just sitting there as long as I want and enjoying my gluttony and enjoying the fact that God really loves me." Well, I got to tell you something. He loves you as much when you're eating Wheat Thins and celery as He did when you were eating double doubles. I mean, let's just face it. He loves His children, and His ways are perfect, and His wisdom is unfathomable, and we can trust Him during this time. So we've got to come back to that. He's immutable. He changes not. And one author said it this way. Emory Bancroft said, "God in His nature, attributes, and counsel is unchanging. For these belonging to an infinite being are absolutely perfect and therefore admit of no possible variation." All I'm trying to tell you is, during this time of COVID-19, with all of its convenience, God is for you and God loves you during this time. He says, "My nature is infallible, it is immutable, it is eternal, it will never, ever change." And so, when we come to hear from the psalmist tonight, Psalm 18, David is reminding us that God's provision for us is reliable, whether it's coming to the rock, the fortress, whether looking to Him as our buckler or shield, that He's a reliable God, and also that His promises are reliable, that we can come to His word, and that we know that His way is perfect, because He is perfect. He is infallible. He is immutable. He is eternal, and He is the one that we can trust. And so His provision is reliable. His promises are reliable. We're talking tonight about our reliable God. "I'll provide all of your need. I'll be there when you have need, because I'm never changing." His promises are reliable. Notice thirdly tonight, if you're taking notes, that His payment is reliable. His payment is reliable. Now, I want you to see some of the wording of this psalm, if you would, for just a moment. And look at verses 4 and 5. and just try to get the depths of the difficulty that David had experienced while fleeing from Saul. It says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." Now, this was a desperate man. Ungodly men had surrounded him. The sorrows of death had compassed him. David is describing a time of great inner turmoil, great spiritual difficulty. But it reminds me of a time of awareness that all of us experience before we're saved. We all experience verses 4, 5, and 6 at a much deeper level when we realize the wages of sin is death, when we realize that I am separated from God, when we realize that we are surrounded without hope, we are surrounded by condemnation without Jesus Christ. In other words, as surely as David is thankful for salvation from the treacherous hand of Saul, we should be thankful for salvation from the treacherous hand of Satan, who is not willing that we would come to Christ, who fought you on your way to Christ, but by the grace of God, we have been saved. And his salvation is reliable for every one of us. He has made a payment. Now, I think we see that payment in this chapter, and I want you to see it in verse 46 for just a moment. Notice what it says in verse 46 of Psalm 18. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Well, David was thanking God for his salvation from Saul, but we ought to be thanking God for our salvation from Satan. "Let the God of my salvation be exalted." I want you to think about that in our final moments tonight. I want you to think about the cost of the payment that Jesus made for you. The blood that was shed, 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 tells us, it was precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. It provides our redemption. Colossians 1 and 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." You see, it was by the blood of the cross that salvation was made clear. One thing that those that are in Sacramento and who do not believe in Christ, who quote verses out of context to their advantage, but who have rarely ever really understood or heard maybe even the gospel of Jesus Christ, one thing that they need to understand is that there is a God in heaven who loves them, that Jesus shed his blood for their sin, and that they can have atonement for their sin by turning to Christ alone and being saved. And if you have done that, then you know the joy of salvation. You want to sing about it. You want to gather with God's people and rejoice over that. If you don't know Christ, you don't want to sing about it. You don't need to rejoice over it. But when you know him, you want to let the world know that Jesus saves. And this is a wonderful and exclusive promise. 1 John 5 says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You see, the unsaved and the liberal politician today, without God, he would tell you that all religions are about the same and all roads lead to the same place and, you know, whatever you believe is fine, just believe it at home. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. I believe in such a wonderful Savior who conquered death and the grave. It's too good to leave this message at home. We want to get it out by way of the live stream, by way of the radio, by way of the television, by way of going from house to house, by way of preaching it in God's house. I want the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation, to be exalted. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine until Jesus comes. Hide it under a bush? Oh, no. Hide it in stay at home and don't talk about it? Oh no. We've got to let it be known that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He paid a great price. And I want you to think about that. The cost was great. And the covering was thorough. The covering of the blood. It's not just for a select few. No, it's for all who will believe. Romans chapter 3 and 24, being justified freely by the grace through redemption that is in Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Jesus shed His blood to be a covering for the sins of those who would believe on Him. Oh, what a blessing to know that we have that promise, the promise of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I picture David. I picture him having fled through the caves and hiding in those caves. I've been to the caves of Adullam there, not far from the Dead Sea, not far from Jericho, where some springs of water flowed through, but really a very arid and rocky existence. And David was hiding from Saul, going through that rough Judean countryside, trying to find solace. And he tells us now, he says, God has been faithful. He says, God's provision has been reliable. He's provided food and shelter. He's been my rock. He's been my sustenance. His promises have been reliable because He's infallible. He's immutable. He's unchanging. God, You brought me through. And by the way, God, You're the rock of my salvation. It would not have been possible without You. What about you today? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Is He the rock of your salvation? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior or in a church? Because, friend, I got to tell you, no church can cover your sin. No act of religion can cover your sin. No government can cover your sin. Only Jesus Christ could pay for your sin. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want to encourage you to text us or to email us here at the numbers on the screen and tell us, I'd like to know more about having Christ as the rock of my salvation, having my sins forgiven. I'd like to know more about that. And I'd encourage you tonight, if you know that you're a sinner and you believe that the wage of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, I implore you to open your heart by faith and receive Christ as Savior. And if you have received Christ as Savior, then I am not imploring you to get saved again because you only need to be saved one time, but I'm imploring you to remember that you have a rock, you have a shield, you have a buckler. You have an infallible, immutable, eternal God who wants you to know that He cares for you and He will sustain you through every moment of this trial if you will but trust in Him. Psalm 18 promises us that our God is a reliable hope. Don't let anything shake you from that. Keep your trust in Him. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, thank You for being such a reliable hope. Thank You that we could gather here for this time to open Your Word and be strengthened. I want to pray tonight that You would bless and help us. Give us understanding, give us provision, and give us joy in the midst of a storm. I pray for that one that may not know Jesus, that they would open their heart and trust You as Savior even now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you're watching me right now and you do not know that Jesus Christ is in your heart and you do not know that heaven is your home, He wants to be the rock of your salvation. He died and rose again to prove His deity, to provide a payment for your sin. And if you would call to Him right now and just say something like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I am a sinner. And I turn to You now and You alone, and I ask You to be my Savior, to forgive me, to come into my life. Friend, if you'll call upon the Lord and ask Him to be your Savior and to come into your life, He will forgive your sin. He will give you a home in heaven. Would you do that right now? Would you take a moment right now and just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner, and I ask You right now to come into my heart and be my Savior. I'm trusting only in You to be my Savior. And if you prayed that right now, would you indicate that by texting us or emailing us here? We want to rejoice with you. I'd like to send you some free material to help you understand more about the Christian faith. And I hope that you'll let us do that. God bless you. And thank you for doing that and for being with us today.